Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us begin with prayer. Father, may we hear and may we see the glory of Jesus today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mountains. I love the mountains. Do any of you love the mountains? Being on mountains? Mountains through history have been places of spiritual experiences. And as you hike up and up and up and winding your way back and forth with the switchbacks of the trails, you gain a view over the area below you. And along with that, you have a feeling you're getting closer and closer to the sky, closer to heaven. Now, Heather and I have hiked Harney Peak 4 times in the Black Hills, starting at Sylvan Lake and Custer State Park, the trailhead for Trail 9, which begins the 7-mile round trip to the top and back of the highest peak, 7,242 feet. It's the highest peak east of the Rocky Mountains, all the way to the Pyrenees Mountains of Europe. The elevation change you experience is about 1,100 feet. Now, this is Harney Peaks getting started on the hike from Heather and I and the girls 2 summers ago. You're going to bring it up. There you go. It's a long hike. And so we need to think about when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the mountain. It was a time together. And so the second time I went up Harney Peak, we had a group of teenagers from Dover, Ohio. And they had never been to the mountains. So we stayed a couple extra days there in the Black Hills after our mission work on the Pine Ridge Reservation to explore the area. And as the teenagers came around the corner through the fire lookout to see the grand, expansive view, one of the teenagers exclaimed rather loudly in amazement, some to the effect of, "Wow!" Wide-eyed in wonder to the panoramic view, stretching for miles, but you still need to hike your way up there. And so you start to see this on your way up, but a lot of trees have fallen because of a bug and fires there. And so you're hiking up to Harney's Peak, and next slide, you're getting higher up, and you can start seeing for miles upon miles. And several years later, after the teens, the second teen mission trip, they were amazed, but later my girls had the opportunity for this amazing view. You keep climbing up higher, and you get higher, and finally, you get up on top, and you start seeing. It's a granite outcropping, and you can see for miles. If it's a clear day, you can see all the way over to the Badlands, and you can just see miles upon miles. And another picture, you just want to have fun on top of the mountain, too. See, you got to have a little fun up there. "I made it," she says, and so on. And then me. As a kid, I've always dreamed about seeing the tablets on top of a mountain. Well, the tablets are on top of a mountain there. I have my TNT t-shirt with the 2 tablets on the back. But the miles that you can see, there's something about being on top of a mountain. And this is summer of 2005. And it's just to get you in the mindset that you're up, up, up. Jesus with that inner circle of Peter, James, and John. Now, Scripture does not identify the mountain that Jesus and the 3 disciples went up into. Tradition has it as Mount Tabor, as the place of the Transfiguration. And others point to Mount Hermon, the highest point in Israel, as the place of Transfiguration, since the region of Caesarea Philippi is where Matthew records Peter's answer, "You are the Christ." And that's in the north near Mount Hermon. But Mount Tabor, here's a picture of Mount Tabor. It just rises up from the valley, Jezreel Valley, and it's 1,600 feet above the valley. Well, Harney Peak was 1,100 feet above. So, I mean, can you just imagine being up on top? So this was not a short hike up the hill. Jesus and the 3 disciples were together for a good part of the day on that mountain. Just think about it, where he was transfigured. And on top of Mount Tabor is a basilica. Next slide. And you can now see what you can see all around you. So up in the mountain. And this is something to behold, something we really cannot comprehend, what Peter, James, and John witnessed. Peter wrote about this time on the mountain in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm just going to read a small portion, verses 16, 17, and 18. This is Peter writing, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love, with Him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain." Okay, next, go ahead and go back to easy worship. There you go. Peter, eyewitness to His majesty. Peter heard the voice from heaven on that sacred mountain, His testimony of the glory of Jesus, and hearing the Father's voice demonstrated that what Peter has been teaching is the truth. Moses. Moses was on a mountain years ago. You heard it from Exodus 24. And Exodus 24 describes the appearance of the mountain. It was like a consuming fire on the mountain. A cloud had covered the mountain, and Moses was there on the mountain. And the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. And at the call of the Lord, the seventh day, Moses entered the cloud and received the teachings and the law from God. Moses received the stone tablets from the Lord God. It's hard for us to grasp, but Moses was there with God. And the glory of God made the top of that mountain seem like fire. After the battle on Mount Carmel, recorded in 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah flees to Mount Horeb. There in great silence, Elijah met with the Lord God Almighty on the mountain, recorded in 1 Kings chapter 19. These events really happened. There's more to reality than our eyes see and our ears hear. And that is what Peter, James, and John witnessed on that mountain. It is as if eternity was opened and the reality of existence was opened to their eyes. Jesus, as He really is. It was unhidden and revealed to them. And the reality that life continues was witnessed. Moses, easily recognizable as Moses, even though Peter had never seen him before. Elijah, easily recognizable, even though he was not seen before. Moses, who physically died outside of the promised land. Elijah, taken to heaven in the chariot of fire as Elisha watched. Deuteronomy 34 tells us that after the Lord God showed Moses the promised land, Moses died and was buried. 2 Kings chapter 2 tells us that Elisha walked with Elijah, and a chariot of fire with horses came and separated them. And as the mantle fell off Elijah was carried to heaven in a whirlwind and was seen no more. Yet, here on this mountain, at the invitation of Jesus to come with Him, Peter, James, and John witness Moses and Elijah with Jesus, speaking with Jesus. Luke adds that Moses and Elijah spoke about Jesus' departure, which Jesus was to bring about fulfillment at Jerusalem. Moses, the law. Elijah, the prophet. Jesus, whose departure was to bring about fulfillment at Jerusalem. Departure here means Jesus' death. The kind of death of Jesus at Jerusalem was to bring fulfillment. Remember what Jesus said during his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Later, after Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus reiterated what he had said. Luke chapter 24, verse 44, Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Now, let's fill in this picture by bringing in Matthew chapter 16 with the events that happened just before Matthew 17, the transfiguration. Chapter 16 of Matthew begins with Jesus speaking about the sign of Jonah. A little later, Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus then explains that he will suffer and die. Jesus goes on to talk about the cost of discipleship. To be a disciple, you must deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow Jesus. Then, a few days later, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John with him up into the mountain to pray. Why did Jesus invite Peter, James, and John instead of going off by himself? Why? To see Moses and Elijah with Jesus? Why that? And why the voice, "This is my son, listen to him"? For a testimony. To be a witness of the reality of who Jesus really is. The Son of God. To get a glimpse of that glory. And of the glory of to come, of that kingdom to come. John wrote about his witness in his gospel, John chapter 1, verse 14. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." This transfiguration on the mountain is surrounded by Jesus' teaching about his suffering. This transfiguration shows the cross, crucifixion, was necessary. The glory of Christ would only come through his obedient death, even death on the cross, and his resurrection. Here are a few Bible references that I'm going to read now to help you make that connection in your heart. If you want to review them later today, grab a pencil and paper and write down the references for these Bible verses. But you'll start seeing how Jesus talked about what was coming and how this cross of crucifixion was necessary. Again, after Peter's confession in Matthew chapter 16, "You are the Christ." Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. If you want to write that down, Matthew 16, verse 21. "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." That was Matthew 16, verse 21. Matthew 17, verse 12, the second half of it. "The Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Matthew chapter 17, verse 22. "When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, 'The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men.'" Matthew chapter 17, verse 9, Jesus gave instructions. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." You see, Jesus is going to die. Romans chapter 3, 21 through the first part of 25. You can see more of this picture. Romans chapter 3, 21 through the first part of 25. "But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify." This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace. Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus, God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. Luke chapter 24, verse 27. Luke 24, verse 27. And this is on the road to Emmaus. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the Scripture concerning Himself." Then Luke chapter 24, verse 32. "They asked one another, each other, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the Scripture to us?" The voice from heaven confirming Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus, loved by the Father. Jesus must be listened to, and that means obeyed. The disciples, they were terrified, and they fell face down. Jesus touched them and said, "Do not be afraid." This was an amazing occurrence. This transfiguration, there is no naturalistic, scientific explanation for what actually took place there. There are things science is unable to describe and define. Moses, alive on the mountain there with Jesus. Elijah, alive on the mountain there with Jesus. The glory of Jesus, the Son of God, revealed, giving a glimpse of His majestic glory. And that majestic glory will stretch across the heavens one day when Jesus comes again, riding in the clouds as King of Kings. Jesus is the Christ. Peter confessed it. And the salvation preached in Jesus' name, it is real. Forgiveness of sin is real. All your sin can be forgiven. All of it. For Jesus fulfills the law and the prophets. And all the law and the prophets, they point to Jesus. Jesus is the Christ. Listen to that voice from heaven. Matthew chapter 17, second half of verse 5. "This is my Son, whom I love, with Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him." Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. This is one of the things Jesus said, and we must listen to. Jesus answered, Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus had to die. And He died for our sins. And He rose. And His glory will stretch across the heavens. That majestic glory one day will stretch across the heavens when He comes again. But you, in the meantime, repent and believe. Repent and believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The law, the prophets testify, Jesus is the Redeemer. The Redeemer of your soul. In Christ, you will be completely forgiven. And you will be with Him in that glory to come. The law, the prophets fulfilled in the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Repent and believe and have life in His name. Amen and amen.